If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. We are in the last four or five verses of the whole book today. I mentioned that we started this journey 3 years ago together, and we've done a lot in between. We haven't just been in Matthew, but this, again, I've said it a couple times already, but this story begins and it ends in hope. It ends in hope in Jesus. If you were here this morning, I would invite you, if you didn't have a Bible of your own, to take one of our Bibles and make it your own. And I want to invite you, if today you're listening and watching and you don't have a Bible of your own, reach out to me. I've got Bibles, and we want you to have the Word of God. And when I begin reading, I'm going to begin by saying, hear the word of the Lord. And that's not just some kind of rote ritual thing that we do. I say that because I'm inviting you and calling you to an action. I'm calling you to receive this word in faith and believe every word. And when I finish, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And at that point, I'm calling you to respond, to celebrate that God, the living God, has spoken. And I invite you to praise him by responding wherever you're at. Thanks be to God. So Matthew chapter 28, I'm starting in verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Today, as we consider hope, we're going to consider the mission of God and what it is that makes that mission possible. And as we look at what we just read, we recognize that because Jesus reigns supreme and is God with us all day, every day, we make disciples of Jesus. It's as simple as that. We make disciples everywhere. We make disciples of every tribe and tongue. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus, as one of my favorite Reformed confessions says. We proclaim the gospel of Jesus promiscuously to all people everywhere, declaring his grace. Everything we do is wrapped up in this mission. It's all about Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. And it only happens because Jesus is present in it. Jesus reigns supreme, and he's God with you all day, every day. And so our mission, our purpose here, is to make disciples until the day he returns. So let's go before the Lord and let's pray about that. Lord Jesus, we pray and we ask you right now to open our eyes and open our ears so that we would hear your word. We would hear these words of Jesus and we would be transformed by them. Lord, there are many who are suffering in this world. There are many who are joining us this morning who are suffering. Many who are on our minds. I'm just reminded of Reverend Mast, who has been suffering from coronavirus and came out of it only to get another infection. Lord, please heal his body. God, in this time when there's all this noise, we have a tendency to crowd out and to not pay attention to your word. and to not pay attention to what you've told us to do. And it's difficult now because we can't be close to each other. But Lord, you have drawn close and you have made all this possible. And so we ask that you would strengthen us as we hear your word and we respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus says, make disciples. What does that mean? What does that mean, make disciples? Look, a disciple is someone, very simply put, who follows Jesus. But hear me. Jesus defines what it means to follow him. We've seen it over and over again in this gospel. So you can't avoid it even as you read the rest of the scriptures. Jesus said in chapter 16, if anyone would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. A disciple, my friends, is one who grows in repentance and faith. That means that a disciple is characterized by a growing surrender and return to Jesus, a trust that Jesus is what you need, and he is. A disciple is one who grows throughout their lives in love with Jesus. And a disciple, out of that faith and out of that love for Jesus, will grow in passionate, loving zeal for those who don't know him. We make disciples by proclaiming Jesus, this Jesus. And Jesus tells us two things that always characterize disciple making here. They're not the sum total of making disciples, but they always characterize it. They always accompany it. Baptizing and teaching. Baptism is a sign that God enters into relationship with us only in Jesus, the one who died and rose again from the dead. We call that kind of relationship a covenant relationship. We call it a covenant relationship because God promises to put his own name on a people and call them to be his own. And he offers himself to that people as the reward of being in that relationship. We are his and he is ours. That's what the covenant relationship is with the Lord. And that part where Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, that's not just some religious words that we say when we baptize. See, in Isaiah chapter 42, God said, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no one else. So when we baptize in the name, actually, probably more specifically, Jesus says, into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not just some rote thing we're supposed to say. When we say it, we're declaring that the triune God is the hero of our lives. He has put his name on us and drawn us into relationship with him. That's what we mean by baptism. We are his and he is ours. And disciple making always involves teaching others to observe Jesus' commands, all of Jesus' commands. A disciple is not made by winging it and just trying to be a good person. A disciple of Jesus hangs on every word, and all of the scriptures are his word. All of them. It's not just the red letters in your Bible, friends. Jesus tells his disciples to make disciples by teaching all of it, the full counsel of God, and not only filling our heads with what it says, but showing others to observe it, showing them how to live out every word that comes from the mouth of God. When we think about making disciples, more often than not, we want a quick download instruction manual. Do this. Out pops a disciple. Repeat. But it isn't like that. Disciple making means we take up this word of God and we take others by the hand and we bring them with us as we follow Jesus. It requires that we allow others to see us as we are, the transformation that God is bringing about in our own lives as people who hang on the every word of Jesus, as people who have been adopted into his family, his covenant family. Now, that's what making disciples is. But what makes all that possible? It's only possible because Jesus reigns supreme and is God with us all day, every day. Matthew told us this whole story so that we would know this. In verse 18, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Do you guys remember back towards the beginning of the story, in chapter 4, before Jesus even began his public ministry, the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. And the last thing the devil threw at him was this. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Before Jesus ever began to preach, before he healed the sick or cured lepers or gave sight to the blind or raised the dead, before he began to make disciples himself and to teach them, before all of that, Jesus was offered all the authority over all the earth. He was offered a shortcut. You don't have to run this marathon, Jesus. You don't have to go through the pain and die at the finish line. Here's an Uber. Just get in. It'll get you to the finish line. Here's a shortcut. He could have taken the easy way out, but he did not. He never did. And because he never did, he not only was given all authority on earth, but also in heaven. Because he never took the shortcut, he became the source of reconciliation and adoption and resurrection life for all of us. All of this because Jesus didn't take a shortcut. See, the mission isn't easy. To live out of the supremacy of Christ means that Jesus defines that as becoming a servant of all. It means we have to lay ourselves down. We have to continually surrender our shortcuts so that we can take hold of Jesus in faith. We can make disciples because Jesus didn't take any shortcuts to do what he came to do. At the very least, that should grab your attention and give you reason to love Jesus more today. But it should also make you pause a little, maybe a lot, when we think that we can make disciples without really engaging in their lives and letting them engage in ours. There's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to making disciples that doesn't mean that we ourselves have to observe Jesus' commands. Jesus laid all of this out for us. But Jesus not only sets this mission on the foundation of his authority, but also his presence. In Matthew chapter 1, the very first verse, it says, "This is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." The very first verse of this book tells us that Jesus is the son of Abraham. In Genesis 12, God told Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." And in the last words of the story, the son of Abraham sends out his disciples to bless the nations by making disciples. Jesus himself is the fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham. He is the blessing for every nation. He is the one that we take to every nation. And he is the founder and foundation of God's new covenant. Through Jesus, the world will be blessed. Making disciples is a matter of blessing the world. If you're still in chapter 1, if you look down the page at verse 23, you'll hear the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. The story begins by telling us that he took on flesh to be God with us, to walk this earth, to breathe this air. The story ends with Jesus' promise to be God with us. Not just in general, not just walking the same earth, not just breathing the same air, but personally and immediately present with each and every one of his people all day, every day. Remember when he says, "I am with you always," always, always is maybe not specific enough of a translation. He's saying the whole of every day, all day, every day. That's why I keep saying it. Now look, why do we do all this? Why do we gather, whether online or in person? Why is this important? So maybe this time of physical separation is just making this clearer to me. My friends, we are the church. We might think that what we have to offer is a place to belong or a nice welcoming group of people. I hope that's true. We may think that what we have to offer is a nice building or nice or good music or good programs. But whether any of those things are present or not, we are a people who live to proclaim our hope in Jesus. It is Jesus and him alone that we offer. And my friends, I have good news for you. Jesus is what you need. Whether you are hearing this for the first time or whether you have heard this for 70 years and you have taken hold of Christ for a lifetime, Jesus is what and who you need. Without Jesus, you have nothing, nothing that will last. So church, we exist to worship and minister simply because Jesus is better than everything else. He is supreme and present all the time. Are you having trouble believing that this morning? If you are, I want to tell you, I'm glad you're here. I want you to know that Jesus loves you where you're at today. But Jesus doesn't leave you there. That's why we can take hope that he's present with us. These things that I've been talking about, they're not true because you did anything to deserve it or because of you at all. And that might strike some of you as a little bit harsh, that this story, it's not centered on you. It's not centered on me. These things are true because Jesus never took the easy way out. They're true because Jesus fulfilled the mission of God in total obedience to the Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, all the way to the cross. These things are true because God raised him from the dead. They're true because Jesus alone is God's blessing to every nation, and he alone has the authority to gather together a people called by God's name taught by his commands. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can come through on the promise to be with you all day, every day. Only Jesus brings hope. Only Jesus. And he is alive. It really happened. He is God with us now and forevermore. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you and we praise you that you delight to be our Savior. And you continue to transform our lives. And that you have set a purpose and a mission before us, Lord God. Make us disciples. Make us disciples who have a mind to make disciples according to your command. Lord, not just that people would think that we're right, and certainly not that it would make much of us. But Lord, we ask that you would make your name great. Make your name great among your people now and in 5 minutes and tomorrow and the next day, every day that you are with your people until you come again. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. All of this is for you. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen.